Father, we are so, so very, very thankful that you've given us again this day to have again entered into your courts with thanksgiving, entered in with praise, and lift up our voices and lift up our eyes and be in your presence. Lord, of all the places we have been, there's none that compares to the time that we spend intimately with you. And we thank you for counting us worthy to have looked beyond our faults, to forgive us of our sins, to remind us that we are the children of the Most High God. Your word told us we were a chosen generation of a peculiar kind of people, and we so enjoy that. Our identity is in you. And so, God, now open again our eyes and our ears and make our hearts ready. Settle us down from the madness and even the mundane issues of life. Matter of fact, Lord, can't do nothing about it. It's going to still be a bill to pay. Still, job's still going to be there. Still got to do stuff. But if you'll just let me steal my mind for these few minutes that are mine to engage, if you'll let me set those things aside, I can hear your voice with clarity and understanding. Then I'll go back. I'll attend to those things. I promise you I'll do better and do the best I can. But right now I need to hear what you're saying to me in this church. I really need a word. I got some stuff going on that don't nobody know about. I need a word. I got some battles that I got to fight. I need a word. My enemies are trying to collaborate against me. I need a word. My health is not what it looks like. I'm putting on a good smile today, but I need a word. My family, my friends, I need a word. So God, give your people what they need. They've come to get a word in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, use me. It's my turn again, and I love when my turn comes around. Not as strong as I want to be right now, but I'll do the best I can. Amen. Forgive us all of our sin and have mercy on us. We're trying to do a little better. We really are. Need some help, and the only help we can really count on is you. And so it's preaching time around here. And so God, come on, talk to us in the name of Jesus. Redeemed of the Lord said amen. 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 Come on, bless God. Put your hands together. Oh, come on. Don't do it like that. Do it like you mean it. Come on, everybody. Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul and all that is within me, I will bless again the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. I want to invite your attention to the book of Romans. And we also will make some reference from the book of Isaiah, but I thought I'd just take you to the most familiar setting, and we'll make our little speech and we'll get out of the way. Amen. Romans chapter 12, which is quite familiar to us. And thought we'd work right there, and then we'll let you get on with your ministry, okay? Romans 12 and at verse 1, and you know, we tend to favor the New Living Translation, but I'll make a reference or two from the New King James just to give you a bit familiar footing. Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 12, as you turn on your devices again and come off Facebook and all and go to the Bible app. Amen. Don't tweet while I'm preaching. That's against the biblical law. Amen. And so Romans 12, begin at verse 1, and here's what it says. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be living and holy sacrifice. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice. The kind he will find acceptable. Now, this is critical. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasant, pleasing, and perfect. Now the King James Version, New King James, reads a little bit different, and so we'll add that to it, and says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable in the perfect will of God. Amen. Look at your neighbor. It's your neighbor. Don't be unreasonable. Amen.
Come on, Pastor.
Don't be unreasonable. Thank you, ushers. I got a little bit left. I got. There's a related thought here from the book of Isaiah. And, Isaiah stands as prophet of his time, and he does not really have an assignment to the church, for there is no church, but his assignment is to the people, which, in honesty, the people make up the church.
Yeah.
And so, in some spiritual sense of the matter, we've really always had the church. We know that when Christ comes, he is the fulfillment of all things churchy. He says that he is. And so we have the church. He tells Peter in the summary exit interview that upon this rock I'll build the church. You don't really see the word church a lot in the whole of Scripture, to be honest with you. And the sad part about it is we don't really see the church a lot in society.
Come on now.
Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well.
But anyway, Isaiah and Paul here in the letter to the church at Rome, both of them in the midst of a bit of a concern. They both kind of don't like what they see from the church. They know that God has loved them, and God has always had their best and better interest at heart. And so Isaiah has a meeting of the assembly, the people of God. And he says to them, you know, y'all really have been messing this up. He says, you all have been doing some things. You live your life as if God doesn't matter. You sin. You hurt each other. You don't do fair business with each other. You you conduct yourselves like heathens.
Well,
he said, you're not even true worshipers anymore. You don't bring God good sacrifices.
Come on, Pastor.
You show up when you want to. You got some kind of attitude about the prophet.
Well,
you almost make it seem like you disdain hearing from God. So Paul's relationship, Addison, is kind of like this. Paul says to them, he says, "Now I'm begging you." Mm-hmm. It's interesting to me that folk can get us to do foolish stuff.
Well.
With just a drop of a hint.
Come on now.
But the preacher got to beg us.
Come on, Pastor.
To come on, y'all talk to me.
Yeah.
He said, "I'm pleading with you."
Uh-huh.
You know, I thank Dr. Corbett. It's always good to see you and Lady Ava. He says, I'm pleading with you. He's been talking to them via letters and messengers. He's been trying to get the church to understand some things. He's talked to them in Romans chapter 2. About being kind one to the other, not judging each other. He says, you know, you be careful how you treat each other. He talks to them in Romans 5 and Romans 8 about this reconciliation lifestyle. He tells them, gives them good news in Romans 8. He said, listen, you don't have to worry about being condemned.
Well,
you know, God is making favor on your life. And he tells them, he says, you know, in light of these things, you know, he keeps saying that. And then In Romans 3, he goes back and reminds them. He said, now, part of the problem is all of us have sinned.
Okay.
And come short. You know, Romans 3:23. And then he goes over to Romans 7. He really gets deep by exposing himself. Not like that. Some of y'all went the wrong way. By revealing things about himself. He says, you know, I know I'm messed up.
Yes, sir.
You know, he says, I've had some schizophrenic issues in my life. I thought I was doing right and found out I was doing wrong. He said I thought that I was on the right path and found out. You know, he said I'm just kind of like messed up too. You know, sometimes when you want to reach people, Eric, you have to let them know you got some problems too. And then he gets over and he says, but I found something. Y'all ain't been to the Bible. He said, but I found something. That worked for me, and I thought it might work for you. You know, and so he goes on, then he gets over in Romans 10, and he starts talking about, you know, that the way to do this is to get to preaching. Okay, y'all, I thought right along through there I'd get some amens since I've been sick. I thought y'all would feel sorry for me when he said get to preaching. He said, you know, I realized something. He said there's a lot of stuff out there in the world. There's a lot of opportunities for us to hear and to know. He said, but how can they hear without the preaching?
Yes, sir.
Then he talks about how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the gospel and good news. You know, he talks about that. And then he said this, and this is beautiful. He said, but you're going to need the preacher.
Uh-huh.
You'll need the preacher.
Yes, sir.
He said, and they got to have him. And then he comes along, goes a little further, and he ends up here in Romans 12. He writes this letter. And I think, Lewis, he started to realize, them folk ain't listening to me.
Come on, Pastor.
He said, I done wrote all these letters.
Huh?
Isaiah done stood up and cried before the people. He said, so now I'm going to start begging.
Well.
He said, that's how important it is to me that they know God.
Yeah.
I wish y'all would pray with me. Y'all know I don't feel good. He said, I don't talk nice. I tried to encourage them. I told on myself. And I thought maybe somebody would say, you know what? He's right.
Well,
this God thing is going to be good for us.
Yes, sir.
In light of the fact that God has looked beyond our faults and God has allowed our golden moments to roll on, and God didn't kill us.
Well,
this God thing might just work out for us. But no, they were being unreasonable.
Well,
and so Paul says, he writes this letter, he says, well, I'm begging y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm begging you with reference to you looking at your own life. It's right there in the text. He said, I'm telling you now, that you ought to look at yourself
mm-hmm.
and stop being unreasonable
yeah.
about this God stuff. Amen. He said you ought to slow down enough to realize that it is in him that you live, move, and have your being. He said you ought to realize that if it had not been for the Lord who was on your side, you ought to realize that God woke you up this morning. You ought to realize that God is the pep in your step. God is the sight in your eyes. God is the hearing in your ears. God is the grease in your hair. You ought to realize that God has been good to you. You ought to stop being unreasonable with a God who's been so good to you. He said, I'm begging y'all, stop playing games with God. I'm pleading with you, brothers and sisters, to start living as sacrifices. Not as stuck up and sophomoric, self-centered, it's all about you people. Look at your neighbor and tell them, it ain't never been about you. Oh, some of y'all like that. But tell another, it ain't been about you neither. He said, I'm telling you now that you ought to give yourself to God. For that's the right thing to do. He said, I'm pleading with you. He said, give your bodies to God. And don't bring God no dead and mutilated and maladjusted life. Get yourself together.
Well,
straighten up and fly right.
Well,
dust your junky self off and get yourself back in that church and stand up and lift up your hands and lift up your voice. If you can sing down at phase two, you ought to sing in the church. If you can give your money to the hoochies, you ought to give your money to God. If you can drive and pimp it on the street, you ought to drive it and pimp it in the church parking lot. He said, get your raggedy self together and stop being unreasonable with God. You can buy a PlayStation. You ought to tithe in God's church. You can go to Cancun. You ought to tithe in God's church. Amen. You can jump up and down for the Cowboys. You ought to jump up and down and praise God in his church. He said, you ought to stop being unreasonable. And he said, I'm just begging. Drag your raggedy self on back down to that church. Give God a living sacrifice. Don't wait till you're dead and old and can't do nothing. Then when your legs don't work right in you, back hurt all the time. Then you want to come to the church. Talk about, I yield. You don't yield. You just wore out. He said, oh, don't be unreasonable. Wait until you on your last leg. Come back to the church. Talk about, I'm here. No, he said, I'm begging. And then he said this. He says, you're going to have to do some things because you know better. I'm going to hurry along. I got 5 minutes. He said, first thing, stop being unreasonable. You ought to consider that which you have obtained. I look around this room Sunday after Sunday, all these years we've been together, and God been good to y'all. Yes, he has. God been good to us. He said, you consider what you've obtained. And he said, and I'm telling you now, give yourself to God. All that God has given us, all he wants back is a living sacrifice. Look how quiet y'all are. He said, I'm pleading with you to give your bodies to God because he's done all that for you. All that you have, God did. Wherever you are, God took you there. Whatever it ain't, God kept it from you. But he says there is no debate that the Lord has been more than kind and more than fair, more than listen, God has been more than a negotiator. He has put up with our flimsy terms of endearment and yet loved us anyhow. He said, you ought to consider what you have. Yeah. Yes, old folks, you say that he brought me from a mighty long way. And that I wouldn't trade nothing for my journey. And some of us sit up in God's house, won't even wave our hand. Won't even shake our head, won't even pat our foot. Sitting up here like we mad at everybody, but he said, you don't think about nobody else. You just need to consider what you have obtained. Here's what the Lord said. I know how people are Eric, he said, they're going to be funny with me. He said, when their cows get fat and the fields are grown old and a good crop come in, they're going to forget me. They're going to forget me. He said, they're going to act like they don't know me. When the ship come in and when the money get good and they meet Denzel and Tony Braxton, they're going to forget me. But God said, I'm going to keep my eyes on that kind of behavior. He said, and whenever you get to where you forget me, I'm going to cut you off. Some of y'all sitting here wondering why you can't make two ends meet together, why you ain't got two nickels to rub together, because when God blessed you last time, you forgot him. Y'all don't want to talk to me. When God gave you that car, all of a sudden it couldn't come to 1916. When you got that little raggedy job, all of a sudden your money went toward other behaviors. But God said, I did it to you, and now I'm going to make you answer for it. Don't you never forget what God has done for you. He said, consider all that you've attained. And listen, and again, I don't intend to distract us, Sister Hayes, by talking about earthly things, because all of us got cars and houses and all that kind of stuff. That really don't mean nothing. It really don't mean nothing. I don't even want to waste our time. I ain't got but a few minutes left. You see, Jonathan has showed up. When Jonathan come over here, that means it's about time to go. But I don't intend to do that. I don't intend to do that, Rudy, because that doesn't make any difference. What we drive don't really say that much. It really doesn't. Because you know they made a whole lot of them things.
Yes, sir.
And you ain't the only one got one. If you can convince them folk that you're going to give them at least 72 payments back, they'll give you one. But they won't give it to you, but they'll make an agreement with you at least. But I don't want you to misunderstand why I'm encouraging you not to be unreasonable. Because the fact of the matter is, it is those very things that have distracted so many of us. When we didn't have nothing, Lady Ava, we beat the church down. When we didn't have nothing, we prayed more, we sang louder, we gave out a little bit of tithe and offering. But soon as God prospered us, see, it was one thing to give God $10 a week.
Well,
now you ought to be giving God $100, maybe $200 a week. You can't see that. But when you were crying out your raggedy mouth and them raggedy tears were falling down your face and you wanted God to lift you up out of your muck and the mire and God did his part, you forgot about him. Y'all ain't talking to me. And I'm telling you why I ain't talk like a woman, because I did it. I did it. When God blessed me and promoted me and gave me a little old raggedy career and I had a little reputation, I forgot about him. But he broke me. He broke me. He humbled me. And when I couldn't hardly find bill money and gas money and mortgage money, God said, remember? Y'all don't want to talk to me now. God said, remember? Remember when you had all them credit cards? Remember when you had all that money and you running them down the highway and you buying lunch and dinner for your heathen friend? Now remember. When you were unreasonable, I waited on you. I kept you breathing when I should have cut your breath off. I let you live in a house you couldn't pay for. I let you drive a car that you were behind in the payment and then let them folk come get it. I kept your lights on. Some of y'all acting funny. But I remember what I had. And remember how I lost it. And I told God, Lord, I will never be unreasonable with you again. You ought to consider. So I didn't want to talk about that. I got distracted there. That's not where I want to go. What I wanted to help you understand, there are two critical attainments. And I'll be just about done here. There are two critical attainments, Crystal. First of all, you have mercy. See how y'all act right there? You should have shouted right there. Because you and I both know that if mercy hadn't stepped in, justice would have killed us. We'd have been dead and sleeping in our grave, because all of us have jacked up our relationship with God. We lied to him. We lied on him. We hid from him. But mercy stepped in. That's why you're here. Because you obtained mercy. Nobody cares about your money. Your money ain't going to keep the death angel off your door. Your money ain't going to buy your health back. Your money ain't going to restore the year that the canker worm destroyed. Mercy. That's why you're still here. Mercy. You listen, God may cut off the money, but God help you when he cut off the mercy. I can live that money. Well, I've done it before. Yeah, I've lived off my friends. I've robbed Peter to pay Paul. But I ain't going to try to live that mercy. But I know how raggedy my life has been, and mercy kept me. Mercy did what money couldn't do for me. Good looks ain't going to keep you. You've obtained mercy. Here it is. The redeemed of the Lord ought to shout right there. Everybody that ever tasted mercy should shout right there. Everybody ever heard about mercy ought to shout right there. Because you have obtained mercy when you should have been cut off. Look at an honest name and say, I know that's right. I wish he'd hurry up and go, but he'd tell the truth right along through there. Mercy! I ain't gonna never have as much money as I need mercy. My house ain't gonna never be big enough to obtain the mercy I need. My car can't ride around this kind of mercy. My friend don't understand this kind of mercy. But I have obtained mercy. And the Bible say that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. It's song time, Jess. Man made a song called Mercy, Mercy Me. That's a good Christian song right there. There is no girl in the whole world that can love me like she do. Have mercy on me. Mercy. And then the second thing, I'm about done here, Jonathan. Second thing is that you ought to be grateful for his grace. That's why we shouldn't be unreasonable. Because we're walking around here covered by grace. Paul said, I'm pleading with y'all to think about what God has done for you. Amen. He don't mention no foolish stuff in here. He said, listen, please understand that you ought to realize all that God has done for you. He died. See how y'all like when I said that? That's where a real shout goes right there. Real Christian Negro know when you say he died, somebody ought to say something. He died for us so that grace can be fulfilled. Because if he had not died, we'd still owe for the sin that we have committed unto him. But when he died, he sent grace. And grace is getting it done. Somebody ought to yell, go ahead, grace, and do your thing. Yes, grace been working it. Yeah. I shouldn't have to say much about that, but grace. That's what I needed. I needed grace. I didn't need a do-over. I just needed grace. And grace has brought me safe. Thus far. Hey, amen. I'm just making it. But grace does it for me every time. Amen. Whenever I get to feeling sorry for myself, I always remember that grace deserves more than that. You ought to jump up and down for grace. You ought to lift up your hands for grace. You ought to throw back your head for grace, because God has done all that I could ever ask, think, or imagine. But the greatest thing he gave me is grace. He looked beyond my fault. How can I be unreasonable when I got all this grace? So you ought to consider that same thing. Same thing is that you ought to convert. He said this. I'm about done. He said here. He said, don't be copying the customs of this world. You ought to convert. You ought to change teams. Amen. Stop running in league with the devil.
Well, yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all, the devil ain't gonna ever have to worry about you running into him. Because y'all walking the same way. You can't run into the devil if y'all walking the same way. And you ain't never got to worry about being exposed, because the people around you doing the same thing you're doing. They ain't going to tell on you. We got a pact together. We say whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's because everybody in Vegas acting a fool. You get out there, ain't no behaviors. It's just, let's go for it. When you get on the plane, you have to sign an agreement with the state, with the Chamber of Commerce. I'm just going to act a fool while I'm out here. They have a little paper, a little lady standing here signing this right here. This is a disclosure form. Amen. That's why when you around folk who don't love God, they don't care. You hanging around fools. What do you think going to happen when you hang around fools? Foolishness. Some of y'all wonder why your Thanksgiving dinner keep going bad, and why your 4th of July party always end up with a fight. You know, because you hang around fools. He said, don't copy the customs and behaviors of the world. You can't drink communion wine on first Sunday and gin and juice first Sunday afternoon. See how y'all looking at me like that? You still doing what the world doing, but you want God to do what God's trying to do. God can't do what he's trying to do, and you keep doing what the world doing. Y'all ain't talking to me now. We done stopped loving each other already. He said, listen, don't do that. Don't do that. And know what he said, listen, you got to make a choice. Uh-huh. It's unreasonable to sit with God and run with devils. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. Uh-huh. And you know, since Hayes, when I hear people say, I don't know when I hear from God, I don't say, well, you must not be one of his sheep. Uh-huh. You telling on yourself, then you get mad at me. But I said, well, I can help with that, because you just told me something I need to hear. I don't know if I can hear from God. Well, you're not a sheep. See how they're looking at me? He said, my sheep hear my voice. They know me. So you just told the pastor, I don't know how to hear from God. I don't know when God is speaking. You're not a sheep. You a goat. And I'm not talking about greatest of all time goat. I'm talking about one of them goat that eat all kind of crap. Hang out with all kind of crazy people. You listen, you better stop trying to be worldly and then be a witness for the Lord. Y'all ain't talking to me. See, I'm looking at that one. I told y'all we record this stuff. This thing is on the hard drive. I'm going to go back and look and see who had attitude with me. He said, you can't copy. And he said, that's unreasonable. Why? Two things. First of all, everybody in the room, I don't understand this. Restoration comes by request. Okay, they missed it. Aaron, they didn't hear me. Can you hear me back there? Everything all right? Restoration comes by request. They said to him, Lord, save us. Darlene, they don't get it. I'm setting them up. Psalm 22 says, we made our request to God. We cried out, watch this, that you would save us. Y'all didn't hear me. They cried out to you that you would save them. You still don't see what I'm saying, all right? I'll try to help them. What I'm convinced of among you unreasonable people is, I don't think some of y'all ever asked God to save y'all. I think y'all thought that when you just start showing up at the church, that's going to be enough. No, you need to say something out your mouth that goes to his ear that affects your heart. Yes, that's good preaching right there. Yes, they cried out. Yes, save us. Yes. You want restoration? You need to make your request. Yes. You need to say, listen, you can't get saved because your grandmama was a deaconess. Well, you can't get saved because your daddy the pastor. Well, you need to get up off your little dusty rusty, stand up on your feet, lift up your voice, and say, Lord, save me. I need to be saved. I'm on my way to hell. Save me. Here's what text says. And when they did that, watch this now, they trusted God and they were never disgraced. Right, I like that. How many know that when you are in the shadow of God, there is no disgrace? And I'm about finished. Some of y'all don't trust God. That's unreasonable. It is unreasonable to not trust God. Don't make no sense. Nothing they say, I don't make no sense. You know, that don't make no sense. That's crazy. Not trust. See how some of y'all look at me? You don't get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth. You don't trust God. You can't trust God for his sustenance and not trust him for his salvation. Watch this. Because some of y'all living off his sustenance, but you ain't proving nothing about his salvation. Yep, you driving good, you dressing good, but you ain't doing nothing in the kingdom life. And I'm telling you now that until you save, you can't say nothing. Look how quiet it is. You gotta ask to be saved. I go to church every Sunday. Well, that don't mean nothing. I go to the bank, but I don't own it. Amen. I go in the restaurant, but I don't own it. Amen. That don't mean nothing because I'm there. That don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing because you sit up in the church. Amen. The devil was in the very presence of God, and he didn't even change. He's sitting there talking to God, and he didn't convert. Look how quiet y'all is. He said, you gotta make your, watch this. What I know is he won't let you down. Let me tell you, I'm about finished, Carolyn. Reason why some of us restoration ain't no good, because you unreasonable. That's why your restoration ain't no good, because you unreasonable. See, look at people rolling their eyes, sucking their teeth. Both borrowed and original equipment. You sitting there sucking your teeth at me because I'm trying to help you, because you unreasonable. You ain't going to get nothing done in this life being unreasonable. Isaiah said, come on, let's reason together. I'm about finished. He said, come on. All right, he said, well, tell me what the problem is. What do we need to do? He said, okay, what, and let me tell you something. I told Deacon Davis this. We done changed from 6 o'clock prayer to 6:30 prayer, trying to be reasonable. We done changed Bible study time. We done changed choir rehearsal time. We done changed everything we done changed, and some of y'all ain't did nothing but stayed unreasonable. We went from 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock in the evening. We went from Monday to Tuesday to Wednesday. We running out days. Some of y'all say, well, you have Bible study on this day. We didn't come. All right, we moved around there. We done gone all around the Marbury Bush, up and down Adams Apple Grove, and some of y'all just unreasonable. Then you say, well, if y'all stop asking for money, I'll just give the money. Y'all ain't got to beg me. No, you haven't. You ain't done that either. You just been unreasonable. Somebody say, well, I don't like them things playing while the pastor preaching. That's distracting. We turn that off. Then he said, I don't know what's going on. Ain't nobody telling us nothing.
Come on now.
Come on, talk to him. You just unreasonable. All that stuff you're doing is just rigmarole. You need to first get saved. See, y'all don't want to talk to me now. I've come to the conclusion that you can't turn heathens into holiness until the heathens start being holy. Scott, that's oxymoronic, isn't it? That's just about as simple as it can be. But you got to let your request be made. You need to ask. I can't save you. Don't hang around me. No. I still got some stuff I'm working on. Don't look at me like that. I'm not unreasonable with God. I know how to say, Lord, I'm not good at that right now. God can't lock me up in Jim Beam headquarters. I can't be no security guard for the Hennessy Company. Don't put me in that kind of, no, Lord, don't leave me here. You can't, no, don't leave me here. Don't leave me around no whole lot of money. I'm put you in charge of the vault. No, God, no. I'm going to put you in charge of the all-girl review. No, don't leave me with all these gals, Lord. No. See, some of y'all can't be honest like that. There's some stuff, Jesse. I didn't tell God, Lord, don't even try me like that. Some tests ain't no need to even put my name on the paper. Lord, I'll just go ahead and say guilty. I do the redemption before I do the ridiculous.
Come on, Pastor.
But you got to get saved. And let me tell you, when you're saved, watch this. When you're saved, stuff don't stop. Just take that with you. When you're saved, stuff don't stop. That's why he says, you got to keep working on it. In the text, he said, then you'll know. Then, and Sister Scott, Sister Price, all these educators will tell you, then is one of those words that progress from another behavior. Something else had to happen before then can come into play. He said, once you get this restoration thing out there, and then hit second one, and I'm done. Second one, that after you understand that restoration comes by request, James, here's what you need to know: redemption must be your reality. He said in the Hebrew letter, this is what Hebrew writer says. Hebrew writer says, we have great confidence that we hold on to the hope that lies ahead, that what we have asked God to do, he going to do it. He said, this is the hope that we have, that my redemption becomes my reality. In other words, nudge your name, tell me, you ain't got to be phony. You got to be phony. Real conversion becomes concrete because our confidence is in Christ and not in ourselves. In other words, what Mama was right, if the Lord don't do it, it ain't going to get done. Right? He said, listen, Jesus has already gone in for us. We have a high priest that understands, and this is what I like. I'm about done. This is what I like, Melvin. He said that we are so grateful that we have a high priest who understands us. Woo, that'll be a shout right there. Some of y'all ought to be glad that the Lord understands you. You ought to be so glad that the Lord understands holiness, but also can work with a heathen. Come on, talk to me. He said he has already become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. In other words, God is not so holy that he don't get me. Yeah, he said, because my redemption is only a reality when I understand I've been rescued by the Redeemer. Oh, come on, talk to me. I heard him say it. He said, I came to save them. Come on, talk to me. He said, I came to get them. I came to lift them. I came to deliver them. And this is what I like. I'm about done. He said, I didn't come to destroy them. I didn't come to kill them. He said, I know that the sick had need of a physician. And so it is when they looked at him and said, well, what are you doing here? He said, it's for this call that I came into the world. I came that they might know salvation. Amen. Look at your name and say, salvation came. And so it is. Then Paul said, listen, he said, you got to understand to consider what you already obtained. Yes, then he said, Eric, that you got to convert.
Come on.
And then I like this and I'm done. He said, You got to learn how to comply with the covenant. In other words, he said, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Look at the name and say, stop struggling. Amen. In order for us to change, Eric, we got to stop struggling. And struggling is being unreasonable with God. In other words, Elizabeth, what we got to learn how to do is do like Paul did on the road to Damascus. Y'all remember Paul on the road to Damascus? The Bible says Paul was on his way to do a persecutory work against the church, and he runs into God. He runs into the Christ. He runs into the Messiah. And the interesting thing is that Jesus did not introduce himself just based on holiness, but he talks to Paul about his heathenness. Y'all ain't talking to me. He said, Paul, what's your problem, boy? Why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you struggling against me? He said, because if you really want to get anything done, you're going to have to stop struggling. Look at your name and tell them, stop struggling. You got to stop engaging in unnecessary warfare with God, because, watch this now, the Bible says, whom the Lord has already redeemed is already redeemed. Y'all didn't get that. The Bible said that before the foundations of the world, God had already chosen the 18. Y'all ain't talking to me. The Bible says that those whom God has already put that hedge around, those whom God has already sealed until the day of the breaking of the seal, will not be lost. Come on and talk back to me. In John 17, Jesus said, Father, the ones you gave me, I still got them. That's why Grandma and them sang that song that said he's got the whole world in his hand. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I may have wavered every now and then. I may have wobbled every now and then. But thanks be unto God, he's got the whole world. Y'all ain't talking to me. Neighbor, I know that every now and then I made myself and the kingdom look bad, but I thank God that he's got the whole world. Y'all ain't talking to me. I realize that every now and then I don't do what I ought to do. I don't say what I ought to say, but I made up my mind that for God I live and for God I'm going to die. I made up my mind that I've come too far to turn around now. Every step I make, every move I make, I'm pressing on the upward way. Anybody hear what I'm saying? I've made up my mind that I'm going to keep on striving. I'm going to keep on running. I'm just going to run on and see what the end shall be. I made up my mind that that word I've hidden in my heart, that I might not sin. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm doing the best I know how, but I've held on to God's unchanging word. His word woke me up this morning. His word started me on my way. His word is food on my table. It's clothes on my back. I've made up my mind that I'm going to stop struggling and I'm going to surrender. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I yield, I yield. I can't fight no more. I'm throwing up my hand. I'm waving my white flag. Lord, come and see about me. Anybody feel like surrendering? The Bible says that old things will pass away and all things will be made new. But you got to turn it over. You got to give it up. You got to let it go. You got to surrender unto God. I yield, I yield. Look at another name and say, neighbor, stop fighting, stop struggling, stop squirming, and call on the Lord. Anybody know if you call on the Lord, that the Lord will? I said you call on the Lord will. Can I get one witness? Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Didn't he do it? Can you say yeah? Say yeah. Say yeah. You got to comply with the covenant. It's a prearranged deal that if you just stop struggling and surrender, watch this, he'll save you. So some of y'all have been trying to get a car and get a house and trying to get a name for you. No, just stop struggling. Surrender. And he'll save you. And then last thing, Dr. Dixon, is that if you consider what you've obtained, I'm out of time, I got to go. You consider what you've obtained, and if you would just convert, and then you comply with the covenant, the last thing is he'll let you come on board. That's all I want. I just want to come on board. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. I just want to come on board. I just want to be there with him. Because I heard the Lord say, my Father and I are one. Come on, be one with us. Anybody want to be one with him? Come on, don't fool me. Anybody want to be one with him? He said, you come on board. Come on, be one with us. Because you can't make it without me. And that's what's wrong with us, Ovidia. So many of us have been struggling, trying to make it without him. Trying to be like Stevie Wonder, making God your part-time lover. Call up, ring once, hang up the phone, let me know you made it home. You know I never do you wrong. We're just part-time lovers. You got to be a full-time lover of God. Nudge your neighbor, tell him, I'm going all in this year. I'm going all in. I'm going to come on board. That's why they sang that song, Wanda said, sign me up for the Christian Jubilee. Write my name on the roll. I've been changed. Y'all ain't talking to me. Some of y'all couldn't even say that. Somebody sitting right by you. You should have hollered that one. Sign me up. Put my name on that. I want to be ready. Anybody want to be ready? I want to be ready when my Jesus comes. Sign me up. Put my name down. As my mama said, I know I've been changed. Angels in heaven. Some of y'all, the angels don't know y'all yet. Y'all better get introduced before it's too late. So the angels in heaven. You know, they got a clerk in heaven. Sergeant at arms. You show up at the gate and your name ain't on the book. They're going to tell you depart. You're going to be up there kicking and screaming. Talking about, I know Pastor Mitchell. They're going to look down and say, he ain't here yet. And so he left long before I did this. Well, he might be in negotiation around that corner. Some of y'all going to have to go to arbitration. No. Sorry, ain't going to be no arbitration in hell. I'm sorry. I was trying to make it a little easy for some of y'all. Some of y'all ain't going to make it because you didn't come on board. We going on home now. I've taken up way too much of y'all time. I guess I wasn't as sick as I thought I was, but let me help you with something. Let me tell you something. You need to stop being unreasonable. God's going to say something to y'all that y'all need to get ready for. He's going to ask you, what was your decision? You know, preachers, we sometimes, you know, we get a little extemporaneous. We paint pictures, you know. Ain't going to be no whole lot of question and answer up there. God's just going to ask you, in regards to my son, what was your answer? And if you've been unreasonable, you think you got time? You ain't got time. No man controls time. You think because you're young, you don't live your life, sow your oats and all that kind of stuff. You crazy. Now, see, some of us who are older, you know, I guess we shouldn't be unfair to you because we did it. We just trying to help you to not do it so recklessly. Ain't no need us trying to act like we ain't never done nothing. You know, we sometimes us old folk need to stop telling these young folk all these lies. You know, we weren't always pure. We couldn't even spell virgin past age 11. So, you know, me telling them kids that, be pure, be chaste, all that kind of stuff. Just give them some good life, valuable instruction on how to persevere. You know, talking about be abstinence. You can't even spell abstinence when you were young. Don't try to fool these young people. Now, you ain't never smoked no weed and all that kind of stuff. You know, you try to turn around and talk about, well, I was to a herpetologist when I was growing up. No, you were smoking weed. Herpetologist. You can't spell that either. You know, I didn't drink when I was growing up. No, you just inhale. Let me lie to these young people, but let's help them by saying, listen, some of the mistakes I made, I'll be honest with you, so you don't make the same ones. Because I wish there's some things I really wish I had not done so early in my life. I really don't. I really wish I had kind of slowed down. But I don't want my children to commit the same foolishness. You need to be honest with these young people. And then you wonder why they don't take nothing we say seriously, because they go back and look at them old pictures when we were in the yard and we posing and we got on them Daisy Dukes and all that stuff. And then you're going to tell them about their pants too low, but yours was too high. Come on, talk to me. You in the backyard with a halter top on, and you tell them, cover up your girls, honey. Well, is that you right there? Oh, child, that was back in the day. You got the kind you tied in the front, too. Amen. And only reason you talking trash to them is because you know what used to be ain't no more. Come on, talk. See, y'all ain't you're being unreasonable. You want to help somebody get saved? Tell them how hard it was for you to stop struggling. He said, "Listen, consider what you've obtained. God's been good to us. I'm going on. I'm tired. You consider what you've obtained. God is. It ain't the cause and the house. It's the mercy. It's the grace." And then he said, "Listen, you need to convert." My grandfather used to say, "God bless Seth J. Darby, going on to be in waiting." But he said it all the time. He didn't say he got saved or joined church. He said, "I was converted." He tastes so good. He said, "Boy, when I got converted." And you know what's interesting about my grandfather? My grandfather stammered terribly. But when he talked about the Lord, any of y'all ever seen Gomer Pyle? You ever heard Gomer Pyle sing? Well, Jim Nabors, for real. You ever heard Jim Nabors sing? When he sings, you never know that's the same guy. But when he talked, old country hick. That's how my grandfather was. My grandfather, when he talked to you about the Lord, that guy was smooth as glass. But you ask him, you know, what time the bus coming? God help you, you ask him to loan you some money. You better bring a sandwich. You're going to be there a while. But my point is this. He said he got converted. And he told me this. He said, "Son, once you've been converted, you can't go back the other way." He told me one thing, Sandra. He told me this one time. He said, "You know, the Bible describes that when we have come over to the Lord's side, that there's an angel with a flaming sword." He said, "Some folk came there with a bucket of water. I'm going to put that fire out so they can go back through." And I laugh about it, but I think about that now sometimes. And a whole lot of y'all walk around with a bucket of water. Lord trying to block your way back, and you trying to do everything you can to go anyway. But he said, "You got to be converted." Then he says, "You got to comply with the covenant. Your life is in the Word of God." That's why you got to come to Bible study. You got to come to Christian Academy. I can't help you if you won't let me. And then he said this, "Come on, boy. Come on with me." He said, "Who's on the Lord's side?" He said, "They that are with us are doing what we're doing." Nudge your neighbor and say, "Come on, get with the program. We're trying to build something around here. We're trying to do something around here. And if you with us, you got to do what we're doing. Stop being unreasonable." "Yes, sir." "I ain't going to. I don't care what he say. That's unreasonable." Stop being unreasonable. And then he says, you realize this. "I came to save you." You know, that'd be like your house on fire and the fire truck show up. You tell, "Don't be wetting up my furniture." "Your house, I still don't wet my stuff up. How are we going to put the fire out? I don't know. Use something else." But trust me in this. You got to stop being unreasonable. This is 2017. Stop being unreasonable. We got no time for that stuff. All right. Let's get ready to go. Stand on your feet. I'm sorry. Time has been so well spent today. Dr. Corbett, thank you again. And Lady Ava for being with us. Always wonderful. See them. Now listen. We're getting ready to go, but I wanna make the invitation very clear today, because as I said in the preaching, you need to make your requests. You know, we extend the invitation, but there still ought to be on the backside of that your personal request that the Lord would save you. You know, preacher call you down and all that, you came. But you really need to go ahead and say, "Lord, I came today for your salvation." And you know, we've talked about it before. People run down joining the church. That's not salvation. Joining the church is not salvation. Joining the church, that's about relationship in the house here. You make sure you get your relationship in the house up there. You know, that's salvation. And so, see how y'all misunderstand that? That's what happens to us. But that's okay. We'll work on it. But let me help you understand something. I want you to make a decision today about Christ and his salvation. And so that's what I'm talking about right now. So your request to be restored, to be the redeemed of the Lord, because redemption is a reality based on relationship with Christ. Yeah.
And so if you've not, you're not saved, you're not saved. See, I ain't asked you, did you go to church? Didn't ask you how long you been going to church. Don't care nothing about that really right now. Amen. Like I say, I go to the bank every Monday. That don't mean I have nothing to do with banking. When people see me come in SunTrust, they know me. How you doing, Mr. Mitchell? A couple of them call me Reverend. A couple of them call me Pastor. And I, hey, how y'all doing? I do my little business. I go out. They don't bow and curtsy or nothing like that. Don't mean nothing to them. And if I don't come in there, they're not going to miss me. They got SunTrust everywhere. I try to go to the same one so they can treat me a little special. You know, I like being treated special. But, you know, they say, how you doing, Reverend? I said, fine, how are you? They don't even ask for my idea or nothing like that. You know, they just say, how would you like to do it today, Reverend? I say, as usual. And they know how to do it. You know, they know. I said, do the same thing we've been doing. They say, okay, Reverend, we got you. But the point of the matter is this. If you ain't saved, going wherever you go don't mean nothing. You need to be saved. So just come to church, ain't going to do it. Just hang around with church folk, ain't going to do it. You need to be saved. And so my invitation today is this. If you've not been saved, you've not accepted the Lord's salvation, come on, do it today. Don't be unreasonable. Don't leave here talking about, I'm coming back next week, or I get it next week, or I'm going somewhere else. Salvation is salvation universally. You saved here, you can be saved over there too, but you got to get saved first. So our doors are open. There's no Canaan salvation, no Brookville salvation, Family Life salvation, Tree of Life salvation. Ain't no White Rock salvation. It's the Lord's salvation. So if you haven't accepted the Lord's salvation, are you here today? I know you're tired, ready to go. So is I. So is I. But I just thought I'd ask this question. Are you saved? Yeah, you shouldn't take long to vote on that. You gotta throw your hand up like you got some spring in it. That's like a ratchet. Yeah, I'm saved. You got to say, I don't know, or you lean over and ask your cousin. You ain't saved. Because your cousin sure don't know. Amen. Don't ask my neighbor. Come to me. Amen. So our doors are open for Christian salvation today. The second thing we'll do is this. Want to give you an opportunity for restoration. If you struggle, and you know, as I said in the compliance part, stop struggling. Stop being unreasonable and surrender. Say, God, I got to do better. And since I'm still alive, I think I'll start today doing better. And so let God restore you. You know, restore. Let your request be made known unto God. And so, God, if you need restoration, you say, Lord, I need to come back. My 2016 wasn't so good, so I'm coming back. And I want to start afresh. I want to be a better servant. I want to be a better soldier. I want to be a better subject. We talked about those in the academy. So see, if you didn't know what those three were, you had been to Christian Academy. Those are three characteristics of discipleship life. To be a soldier, to be a subject, and to be a servant. So you can come back and let God use you. Because we need you. We could use you around here. We really could. Okay, and then last thing I want to do is this. If none of those are going to fit you so far, here's the last thing I want to do. I want to invite you. I want to start with this. I want to do it by priorities right quick. If you have a medical issue, you're asking God to do something, I want to pray with you today. I want you to come get ahead of everybody else. Tell them, no, I got some business I got to take care of with God. Thank you. Come on. If you got a medical condition, you ain't got to tell nobody. You ain't got to tell nobody. Ain't nobody business but yours and the Lord. I want you to come first so we can get before God. See, amen. Thank you. I want you to come. And I want you to do this. Come on, I'm going to let y'all get settled in. Come on, tighten up a little bit. Come on. Come on. Come on. I ain't going to hurt you. I wear good cologne. I wear that high stuff. Man. Good stuff. Can you smell it? Not yet. Lean in. Come on, if you have something you need God to do in your body, you might be having just excessive headaches all of a sudden. You know, you don't know. You never know from one moment to the other. But if today you have something you've been dealing with, come on, let God get in it today. He's been there all the time, but we want to make a special request to God today. We want to tell God from our own mouth, Lord, I need you to do this. You've been doing it, but I need you to do it in a big way. You're going back. Your treatments are yet continuing. I want you to come today and just talk to God. Now, I want you to trust God again. Now, I know that may not sound like a whole lot. And I think it's important because sometimes I think we get so caught up that we start minimizing how critical it is to trust God again. Now, let me tell you why I say again. Because sometimes when things start lingering, we tend to get a little frustrated in the process. And we start to thinking that maybe God, it kind of moved my case back or something, you know. Especially when it was going real good one time, you know, the progress reports were coming kind of frequently. And then it looked like a relapse happened, or maybe things turned or slowed down. I need you to trust God again. Maybe you're back at it again. Maybe you were out of the woods for 6 months. Remission was the word they used. Partially last treatments are coming up. And then they said, well, wait a minute. So I need you to trust God again. Because I know that God can. And you know what goes right after God can? He will. I was talking to my grandson the other day.